Within the vast expanse of the Bible, we encounter mysteries that have sparked debates and speculations for centuries. Yet, there is unanimous consensus on the fundamental cornerstone of our faith. Jesus, the Messiah, died on the cross at Calvary and, on the third day, rose with power and glory. After his resurrection, he ascended triumphantly to heaven, where he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. But a theologically profound and captivating question arises. Where was the spirit of Jesus during those 3 days his body lay in the tomb? In this video, I invite you to explore an enlightening perspective based on the Bible. Let's delve deeper into exactly where Jesus' spirit was during the 3 days of his death, and especially how he manifested himself before his resurrection. Before we start, support us by liking this video, and if you haven't subscribed to the channel, I invite you to do so now. It's crucial to activate the notification bell to receive all updates. The gospel accounts of Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection include a particularly intriguing and mysterious time interval, the 3 days between his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. These 3 days have been the subject of intense speculation and reflection within Christianity, giving rise to a variety of theological and spiritual interpretations regarding Jesus' activities and experiences during this period. Now let's explore some of the main theological positions on what happened during the 3 days between Jesus' death and resurrection. Firstly, we have the traditional position. According to this interpretation, Jesus descended to the realm of the dead, known as Sheol or Hades, to liberate the righteous souls who awaited his arrival. This position is based on biblical passages such as 1 Peter 3:18-19. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Another text supporting this position is found in Ephesians 4:9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Secondly, we have the eschatological focus. Some theologians suggest that during these 3 days, Jesus was involved in events related to the end times and the inauguration of the kingdom of God. According to this view, Jesus might have been preparing the way for his triumphant return and the final judgment. Thirdly, we have the mystical view. Another theological position holds that Jesus experienced a deeper communion with God the Father during these 3 days, reaching a state of transcendence or mystical union. According to this interpretation, Jesus could have been in a state of peace and deep spiritual connection before his resurrection. Fourthly, we have the position of rest in the tomb. Some theologians advocate a simpler interpretation, suggesting that Jesus simply rested in the tomb during these 3 days. According to this view, these days represent a time of waiting before his resurrection without additional supernatural events. This position has been adopted by a sect that teaches that there is no life after death. According to them, hell does not exist, and the soul of the wicked is annihilated at death, while the soul of the righteous enters a state of sleep until the day of resurrection. Fifthly, we have theological silence. Some believe that theology does not offer a definitive answer about what happened during these 3 days, considering it a mystery that remains unresolved. According to this position, the absence of specific details in the Gospels invites an attitude of humility and respect before the mysteries of faith. Now, to understand which position is correct, and to dismiss all erroneous objections about where Jesus' spirit was after his death, it is necessary to comprehend the overall picture that the Bible offers in this respect. The Bible clearly teaches that the soul of the wicked is not annihilated, but goes directly to hell, a real place at the moment of death. Although this topic discomforts many, and some deny it completely, it is a doctrine firmly supported in the Bible. Regarding hell, we have a video on our channel that you can watch to learn more about this topic. Now, for the righteous, the Bible says that their souls do not remain sleeping, as this misguided idea claims, but go directly to be with God. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Some scholars suggest that before the resurrection of Jesus, the righteous were taken to a state known as Abraham's bosom. Later, we will delve deeper into this concept to understand it better. However, it is essential to understand that death does not mark the definitive end, and consequently, Jesus' spirit did not experience a state of inactivity, but went to a specific destination. It is important to underline that Jesus did not ascend to heaven immediately after his death, as, for reasons we will detail later, the righteous did not go directly there. Moreover, after his resurrection, Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God." John 20:17. Thus we come to the big question. Where was Jesus' spirit during these 3 days? The concise answer is that Jesus went to paradise or Abraham's bosom to fulfill a crucial mission. Before we explore in detail what paradise or Abraham's bosom meant and the nature of Jesus' mission there, it is essential to understand the concept of Sheol or Hades. This context is crucial, as Abraham's bosom was located within Sheol or Hades, an aspect many Christians are unaware of. Sheol is the Hebrew term primarily used in the Old Testament, while Hades is the Greek word used in the New Testament. Both words refer to the same place, the realm of the dead, where both the righteous and the unrighteous went in the Old Testament. However, it is crucial to emphasize that there was a significant separation, as we will examine in detail later. Sheol, or Hades, was conceived as a place in the depths of the earth, an assumption supported by various biblical passages. An example is found in Numbers 16:32 to 33. "And the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They, and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." In this verse, we observe that Sheol was situated in the depths of the earth. It was precisely to Sheol, or Hades, that the Spirit of Jesus went. In Peter's speech about the resurrection of Jesus at Pentecost, he referred to David's prophecy, saying, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Acts 2:27. Christ himself affirmed, when speaking about his upcoming death and resurrection, comparing it with Jonah's experience in the belly of the great fish. Let's read Matthew 12:40. "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The question is whether Jesus was referring to the tomb where his body lay, or to the place where his spirit would go. Jesus' expressions, "heart of the earth," according to the biblical context, lead us to understand that he was pointing to the center of the earth, where his spirit would remain. If we complement this with what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:9, we will enter a deeper understanding. "Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?" It is crucial to understand where paradise was. Although the Bible calls Sheol or Hades the place where all the dead went, it is important to highlight that there was an abyss that separated hell, where sinners suffered, from paradise or Abraham's bosom, where the righteous rested. Thus Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43. Jewish literature often contrasted paradise with hell, although Jewish texts vary regarding the location of paradise, frequently mentioning it as the place of rest for the righteous after death or resurrection. Therefore, Jesus and the condemned thief would go directly to the resting place of the righteous after death. For a better understanding, let's consider the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. We see that the rich man, being in hell, suffering, could see Lazarus far off enjoying Abraham's bosom. However, between them, there was a great separation that prevented one from crossing to the other side. This account illustrates the concept of Sheol or Hades before the resurrection of Jesus, a place where hell for the wicked and paradise for the righteous coexisted. Let's read Luke 16:26. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Therefore the paradise promised to the thief, who would be with Jesus after his death, was Abraham's bosom. They could not go to heaven because Christ had not yet risen. It is evident that Jesus descended to the place where the righteous were. Now the question is, what was Jesus' activity while he was there? It is essential to understand the profound significance of Abraham's bosom and reflect on the intriguing question of why paradise was located in the center of the earth rather than heaven. Why couldn't the righteous of the Old Testament ascend directly to heaven? The answer would be that these righteous individuals had not yet achieved full perfection, as the death of Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, had not yet occurred. Although it is true that all these righteous individuals, such as Abraham, Moses, David, and others, died with the hope in the Messiah Savior who would come someday, they did not achieve complete perfection, not even through the rites of the law. This is because the scriptures teach that the law could never, through sacrifices, make people perfect. Let's read Hebrews 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Also, it says in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, by establishing a new covenant of grace through his shed blood, which can truly perfect those who receive by faith the free gift of salvation. Jesus declared us justified and perfected by God through his redeeming blood. And if we die, we have direct access to be with the Lord in heaven. However, the righteous of the Old Testament could not ascend directly to heaven because the supreme price of Christ Jesus' cross had not yet been paid. When Jesus died on the cross, he not only perfected forever those who, from that moment, received him by faith, but his sacrifice also had a retrospective power. This means that he also perfected those righteous individuals who had died with faith in a Messiah who was yet to come. The Holy Scriptures also teach that the men of God in the Old Testament died without receiving the promise, specifically referring to Christ. That is, they did not have the privilege of seeing the Messiah with their own eyes, but they awaited him in their hearts and believed in him. Let's read Hebrews 11:39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Job, regarding this, also said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job 19, 25-26. On a certain occasion, when the Jews insisted on bringing Abraham into the discussion, the Lord reminded them that Abraham had awaited the day of the Messiah and that he truly saw it by faith and rejoiced. The Lord Jesus was saying that he was the one whom Abraham was waiting for. When did Abraham see the day of Christ? Perhaps when he took Isaac to Mount Moriah to offer him as a burnt offering to God. The entire drama of the death and resurrection of the Messiah was then dramatized, and it is possible that Abraham saw it by faith. Let's read John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. It is evident that the holy men of God from ancient times in some way received revelation about the coming Messiah and died embracing the hope of that promise. Therefore, when Jesus died and paid the price for our sins, his spirit went to Abraham's bosom. There, he presented himself to the righteous to proclaim that he was the Christ they were waiting for. By presenting himself before them, his blood perfected and sanctified them, preparing them to enter heaven. That is why Jesus declared firmly, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. This principle is indisputable. The only way to achieve salvation and access the dwelling of the Father is through Jesus, our Savior. Therefore, Jesus, through his atoning sacrifice, completed the perfection of all those righteous individuals of the Old Testament with his blood. The most remarkable thing is that beyond that, he freed them from Abraham's bosom and took them directly to heaven, thus granting them immediate access to the divine presence of the Father. This act is a testimony to the redemptive power and sovereignty of Christ over life and death. Let's read Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. This is because ultimately, although Abraham's bosom was a place of rest, it was still within Sheol or Hades, a subterranean region in the center of the earth, according to the biblical conception. The question arises, what do these statements about ascending and descending imply? In reality, they indicate that the one who ascended first descended to the lowest parts of the earth. It is important to emphasize that the same one who descended is also the one who ascended above all heavens to fill all things. Therefore, dear listener, it is important to understand that hell remains in the center of the earth and will stay there until the day of the final judgment before the great white throne. It will be at that moment that the condemned will be cast into the lake of fire. Regarding Abraham's bosom, we must understand that it no longer shelters any righteous individuals, as they have all been taken to heaven. In the age of grace, all Christians who pass away are not led to Abraham's bosom, but have direct access to heaven, to the glorious presence of the Lord. This change is a testimony to the marvelous power of redemption in Christ and the promise of eternal life for all who believe in him. Esteemed listener, this is the sublime promise that the Bible reserves for the Christian. One who breathes his last breath in Christ Jesus is guided directly to the glorious heavenly presence of the Lord, to heaven, where he awaits with anticipation the future resurrection to be transformed in all his glory. This central aspect of our faith not only provides us comfort in times of affliction, but also strengthens us with an eternal hope based on the unshakable redemptive work of Christ and the certainty of a future life in his presence. Let us always remember that, despite the challenges and uncertainties of life, we have an unshakable hope in Christ, which assures us a place in his heavenly presence. May the peace and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always.